Hi, Mama.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We are in a new book this morning. I'm excited. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
And we both say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good. He woke us up this morning. I'm looking at my my top. It says, God, there was no way, but God made a way. But God, there it is, but God, there was no way, but God made a way. God made a way. He woke us up this morning, as the song says, started us on our way. Put food on the table. Come on now. What does it say?
Amen.
Woke me up this morning, started me on my way. There it is. Put food on the table. Gave me another day. And it says something else, and I can't remember all of the song, but I just think it's really a nice song.
Amen.
I think it's wonderful is our God. I believe that's the chorus of that. Wonderful is our God. And God is good all the time. Not just sometimes, but all the time. And I just am so excited because we're going to be in Lamentations Ezekiel today. So y'all knew I had to get that in there. My kiddos, Ezekiel again. So I had to get into that Ezekiel. So we will be hitting Ezekiel this morning. Today is the third day of November, and this is Old Testament Friday. Woo-hoo! And I love Old Testament Friday because sometimes you're going from one book to another book, because as we start getting to the minor prophets, it's not as long as Jeremiah or even the Psalms. So it's just one of those, you kind of hit those prophets, you hit them, and keep going. And Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, because as they call him, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah wasn't weeping. Jeremiah was upset that Israel, even with all of his prophetic words that were coming true, they still didn't want to change their wicked ways, still didn't want to do what was right. And I love how we want to try to say, oh, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. We got to love each other. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said, that we have to love each other. God is not hateful, but God will chastise his children. He will beat your behind. I'm just going to call it like it is. God will beat your behind when you don't act right. Just letting you know. Don't play with the daddy. You know, because just like when we were kids, our fathers didn't play. I know mine didn't. He did not play. And you know what? Only had to spank me once to get my attention, because I thought I was, you know, I can do what I want to. No, you can't. Bam. Spanking is all it took. You know, didn't talk back to him. Not at all. Because I knew better. When my father Henry said do something, I knew I better get it done. Because he was quiet, you know, helped me with my math homework. The only person I ever knew who was like, he was like a human calculator. He could calculate stuff in his head. And I'm like, wow. I thought my dad was the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, I remember, you know, just knowing that I was blessed to have awesome parents. You know, and I have an awesome mother as well. So I'm grateful that my mom gave me parents. And I can, you know, I dote on her like nobody's business today, because I love my mother as well, because my mother blessed me with a great life. So you can't, you know, I always say to family that we have to love each other and care about each other. You know, I was, you know, I love my grandchildren, and everybody's like, wow, to always pay it forward. You never know who God will put in your life. So trust God and know that he's in charge. So I am about to read a little bit about Lamentations. Mother Valerie's going to pray us in, and Mother Valerie's going to go forth in the word. And so we will be in Lamentations chapters 1 through 5 and Ezekiel chapter 1 and possibly 2. And the author of Lamentations is this, not stated but traditionally attributed to Jeremiah. Probably around 586 B.C., about 586 years before Jesus, shortly after the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians, a despairing poem about the destruction of Jerusalem. So Lamentations is actually a poem. It's a lament for the destruction of Jerusalem. And it's the details of Lamentations after warning the southern Jewish nation to obey God. The prophet Jeremiah witnesses punishment. He threatened Judah's enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions, writes Jeremiah. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. The sight brings tears to Jeremiah's eyes. My eyes run it down with water. And that's where it comes from, the crying prophet. That's where it, that nickname comes from, the weeping prophet. And it says it provides his nickname. There they go. The weeping prophet. Lamentations ends with a plaintive cry. Thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. And that is King James Version. It says, turn thou unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as old. Jeremiah 5:21 is a quotable. Unique and unusual. And it says, I'm sorry, that was Lamentations 5:21. Though Lamentations doesn't indicate the author, Jeremiah is described in 2 Chronicles as a composer of laments, 35 and 25 of 2 Chronicles. So what about Lamentations? God's punishment might seem severe, but as the book of Hebrews says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And as we go into Ezekiel, we're going to go ahead and do the book today. As we do Lamentations, we'll do Ezekiel now as well, what the Bible says about it. It says Ezekiel is a prophet. He's considered a prophet of God. And as it says, approximately 590 to 570 B.C., so he's a little bit before Jeremiah, so they're contemporaries. It says, though Israel is in exile and the nation will be restored, Ezekiel, exiled Jew in Babylon, becomes God's spokesman to fellow exiles. He shares unusual, even bizarre visions with the people, reminding them of the sin that led to their captivity, but also offering hope of national restoration. A quotable from Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Because remember, Jeremiah told him, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. But there were false prophets, we call them prophet liars here, prophet liars who were saying, oh, no, don't build houses, don't do anything. We're going back. We're going to be restored. And Jeremiah's like, y'all know y'all lying. That's not what's going to happen. And Ezekiel, backing up Jeremiah, trying to tell them, we got to understand, we need to build. We're going to be here for a minute. You know, we're going to be here for 70 years. And then Ezekiel had the vision of the dry bones. Come on now. Y'all know that was like, wow. Ezekiel's vision of valley of dry bones is one of the Bible's strangest images. I prophesied as I was commanded. And there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. The skin, the flesh came up from them, and the skin covered them above, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, exceedingly great army. Woo, Ezekiel 38, 37:7-8. You know, he's a major prophet, and he did not play Ezekiel and the dry bones. We all know the story today. And it says, so what? Ezekiel strongly teaches personal responsibility. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Ezekiel 18:4-9. So that is our word for this morning. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you for prayer and to start us off in limitations.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. We thank and praise you for this day, for this is the day you have made it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for all that you do, will do, and have done. Bless your pastors and bless the readers and bless the hearers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a beautiful, beautiful morning. I saw the morning sunrise, and it's just gorgeous. God is so good. He's good. God, let us get it right another day. You've given us another day to get it right. I'm in Lamentations 1, 1, 2, and 22. How lonely, sister city, that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations. The princes among the providence has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night, tears on her cheeks among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard substitute. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. Persecutors overtake her in dire straits. The road to Zion mourn because no one comes to set feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests fire, virgins are afflicted, and she's in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. I mean, when you continue to sin and continue to sin, God will afflict you. The children have gone into captivity, become the enemy, and from the daughters of Zion, all her splendor has departed. Friends have become like deer. They find no pasture. They flee without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and roaming, Jerusalem remember all her pleasant things she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. No one to help her. The adversaries saw her, mocked at her downfall. Jerusalem have sinned gravely. Therefore she had become vile. All who honor her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she signs and turns away. Her uncleanness is in her skirt. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore her collapse was awesome. She has no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by, behold and see? If there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted, in the day of his fierce anger, God gets angry. Just like we get angry, you can make God angry. I wouldn't want to stand before an angry God. From above, he has sent fire into my bones, and it overpowers them. He has spread a net for my feet, turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions were bound. They were woven together by his hand, dressed upon my neck. He made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those whom I am not able to withstand. The Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in my midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trample as in a wine press the virgin daughters of Judah. For these things I weep, my eye overflows with water, because the comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Thine spreads out her hand. No one comforts her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob that those around him become his adversaries. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, for I rebel against his commandments. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandments. Hear now, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgin and my young men have gone into captivity. I call for my lovers, but they deceive me. My priests and my elders breathe their last in the city while they sought food to restore their life. See, O Lord, I'm in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. Outside the sword, the rage at home is like death. Then they have heard that I sighed, but no one comforts me. No one. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that you've done it. Bring on the day you have announced that they may become like me, like all their wickedness come before you, and do to them as you've done to me. For all my transgressions, for all my sighs are many. My heart is faint. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. This is all title. Great is God's faithfulness. He's faithful. Chapter 2. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. God gets angry. Cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel. Did not remember his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up and has not pitied all the dwelling places of Jacob. He has thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He's brought them down to the ground. He's profaned the kingdom and its princes. He cut off in fierce anger every horn of Israel. Draw back his right hand from before the enemy. His blaze against Jacob like a flaming fire, devouring all around. Standing like an enemy, he has bent his bow with his right hand like an adversary. He has slain all who was pleasing to his eye. On the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his fury like the Lord was like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He has destroyed her strongholds. He has increased his mourning, lamentation. In the daughter of Judah, he has done violence to his tabernacle as if it was a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has called the appointed feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. In his burning indignation, he has spurned the king and the priest. The Lord has spurned his altar. The Lord, he has abandoned his sanctuary, given up the walls of her palace into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord and on the day of a set feast. The Lord has purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from the destroying. Therefore, he has caused the rampant and wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates have sunken to the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her prince are among the nations. The law is no more. And her prophets find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground and keep silent. They throw dust on their heads and girt themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem bow their heads to the ground. My eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the infants faint in the street of the city. They say to their mothers, Where is grain and wine? And they swoon like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out in their mother's bosom. How shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughters of Jerusalem? What shall I compare with you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea. Who can heal you? The prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. All who pass by clap their hands at you, their heads, and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. Their heads and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Truly, this is the day we have waited for. We have found it. We have seen it. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has fulfilled his word, which is commanded in the days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied, and he has caused an enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. Their heart cry out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. See, O Lord, and consider, to whom have you done this? Should the woman eat their offspring, the children they have coupled? Should the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie on the ground in the street. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered and have not pitied. You have invited as to a feast day the terrors that surround me in the day of the Lord's anger. There was no refugee or survivor, those whom I have bore and brought up. My enemies have destroyed. God is just good. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. God is a good God. He's good all the time. And all the time, he is good. He's good. And Lamentations 5, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens and our house to foreigners. We have become orphans. Well, our mothers are like widows. We pay for the water we drink, and our wood comes at a price. They pursue at our heels. We labor. We have no rest. We have given our hand to the Egyptians and the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers sin and are no more, but we bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands, and elders were not respected. Young men ground at the millstone. Boys staggered on the loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, young men from their music. The joy of our heart have ceased. Our dance have turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking around on it. You, O Lord, remain faithful. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very, very angry with us. I would hate for God to be angry with me. God gets angry, just like we get angry. And he said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Repent.
Amen.
Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Oh, God is
Amen.
A good God. And our title is Great is Your Faithfulness. God is faithful. And the Lord is my portion, says my soul. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen, amen. And, you know, just a quick, Darius, to know God's will. You know, what the Bible says, you know, from Mother's Lamentations 1 and 2, says, in Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah describes the desolation of Jerusalem after the Babylonians carried off the Jews. Yet, we may wonder how the people of Judah got to this point, especially after all of Jeremiah's warnings to them. Jeremiah had told them exactly what was going to happen. Of course, they
Amen.
Ignored him because of their sinfulness. However, there were some things we should note to avoid their mistakes. And he says, remember, God is always pleased to reveal his will to us. But at times, we cannot or will not receive the message. Sometimes in our life, it's created a barrier to hearing him. Obstacles to the believer include self-will. Sometimes we decide that we're going to do without God's input. We still talk to him about our plan, even thinking it is so logical that the Lord must agree. But we have stopped listening to his will. A second obstacle to Christians is influence. It's wise to seek godly counsel, but believers must be careful whom they allow to influence them. Many people will say what someone else wants to hear rather than what is actually needed. That's what we were talking about, prophylias. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, but I'm not going to tell you what thus says the Lord. You know, when we go back into the Old Testament, you know, Balak thought he could just get over. You know, I'm going to do me until that donkey stopped and he won't hit him. The donkey had to talk to him. But let me tell you something. You know, why are you hitting on me? You know, we got to stop and think a minute. You know, folks want to be beaten up on something, not understanding they may be saving your life. You know, and it tells us a third barrier to sin. There are two ways to hinder our ability to know God's will. First, our spirit is clouded so we cannot determine his mind. Second, the Father may not reveal the next step in his plan because he's waiting for us to repent and become willing to obey. A fourth obstacle for believers is distraction. Oh, my. That's like all me. I'm like, okay, Dr. Stanley, that shoe is fitting and I'm saying, ouch, because that is my biggest problem, distraction. Because one of the most subtle obstructions to knowing God's will is busyness. All of in my business. Our hands and our minds are so full we don't have the patience to wait and listen. The Lord does not chase after us, trying to force us to hear him. Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. It's his simple solution for cleansing the clutter of overbooked lives. Ooh. I got a t-shirt that says that too. Because we got to understand. We got to learn how to be quiet. I know I'm a busy. I got this, that. I got this to do. I got that to do. And I need to take some time to be still and to do what God has called me to do, to be still
Amen.
And listen, because there's more coming. But when you're so busy, God doesn't have time to pour into you because you're so busy trying to pour in everybody else. We got to take time for ourselves. And I'm speaking for me, not for anybody else. I know I got to take some time for myself. I got things I got to do for me. And it says the next time you seem unable to determine the Lord's will, try slowing down so that you can focus on him. Then consider whether you might have allowed one of these barriers to be constructed between you and God. Ask, and he will gladly help you to dismantle it. Lord, help me walk out of distractions. Lamentations 2 and 14, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity. Mother, you read that, and I mean, it's proper lying. Jeremiah tried to tell them, these folks are lying to you. Don't listen to them. And it says,
amen,
we can trust God's word, not only because it speaks to us of pleasant things like heaven and grace and love, but also because it uncovers and lays bare our sins so that we may turn from it and live. I shall live and not die. We got to have that in our spirit. God can change anything. God can make cancer, cure it. All you got to do is believe. Watch,
amen,
God work. He can do all things but fail. Lamentations 2 and 17, the Lord has done what he proposed. He has fulfilled his word, which he commanded in days of old. We never have to wonder whether the Lord will keep his promises. We never have to question whether he will really fulfill his word. In your case or mine, whatever he says, he will do. Matthew 5:18. We got to believe. Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man who has been afflicted by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chains heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stones. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. I have said my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and seeks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Ooh, you better preach, Pastor Jeremiah. The prophet is speaking this morning. You know, even when we're going through the worst of things, whatever you may be going through, understand, recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Whew. This is one of my favorite hymns. You know, and many people don't know that great is thy faithfulness comes from the book of Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord my Father. Morning by morning, the mercies I see. We've got to understand God is good. He does not fail us. It says through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. As Mother talks about, she looks for the sunrise every day. You know, her apartment is on the east side of her building, and every morning she watches the sunrise. The sunrise comes through my bedroom window, and it comes through my kitchen window and den window, and I look out and I see the sun coming up, but I have a lot of trees, So all you can see is just a little bit of the sun coming up through the trees. And if anybody goes to Blog Talk Radio, you see a sunset, actually, because we're moving forward. You'll see a sunset on my page because that's what I see. God saying, you got to move forward. Just as the sun moves forward, we got to move forward too. And it, you know, it says, actually our planet is going down. But anyway, I'm not going to get into science. But we understand that the sun comes up in the west because it moves forward. And so do we, because they are new every morning. You know, I love that guy. Read it again. Verse 22, though the Lord mercy, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and that is our title for this morning. Therefore, I hope in him. You know, William Murphy has a song, and one of the lines is, I put my hope in you. I put my hope in your word. We got to put our hope in God. And it says, the Lord is good to those who wail for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wail quietly. For the salvation of the Lord, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Ooh. Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him into full reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man, before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass? When the Lord has not commanded it, it is not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well being proceed. Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search out and examine always and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass. You have made us an offscourging of refuge to the midst of the people, in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare have come upon us. Desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption. Till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. My enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ears from my sighing, from my cry for help. You draw near on the day I called on you and said, do not. Oh, Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. Oh, Lord, you have seen how I am wrong. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, oh, Lord. all their schemes against me, the lips of my enemies, and the whispering against me all the day. Look at their setting down and their rising up. I am their counting song. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them in your anger. Pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. How the gold has become dim. Have changed chapter 4 of Lamentations. How the gold has become dim. Have changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals present their breasts to young, to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sins of Sodom, which were overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than ruby, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood, slain by the sword of better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundation. The earth, the kings of the earth, and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood so that no one would touch their garments. They cried out to them, go away, unclean, go away, do not touch us. When they fled and wandered, those among the nations said, they shall no longer dwell here. The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests, nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over. For our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in the pit of whom he said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, O daughters of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup shall also pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. Wow. God's limits in adversity. And it says, the Lord uses adversity in the life of the believer for many purposes, all of them ultimately good. He limits adversity in the life of a believer and provides a way of escape But none of these statements can be made on behalf of the unbeliever. The unbeliever stands before God in a position of estrangement and alienation. While God loves unbelievers and wants them to come to repentance, they also are subject to harsh treatment if they injure God's children or attempt to interfere with God's plan. The fear of God was all on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Time and again in Scripture we read that God showed no mercy to his enemies. He defeated them soundly and decisively, and often he commanded the Israelites to utterly destroy their enemies. Enemies of God sit in a very precarious position. Not only are unsaved persons spiritually lost, but they remain in danger physically, emotionally, and mentally. Satan has total access to an unbeliever, limited only by the prayers of God's faithful people. God responds to the unsaved person according to the person's will for sin and acts of transgression. The Lord does not sit on his throne, survey the world, and take pot shots at people. God is not a bully. Rather, the Lord moves decisively against sin. God is just and righteous. He must judge and oppose sin. That is the message of the book of Lamentations. When Jeremiah concluded that the Lord does not willfully afflict the children of men, the Lord does not desire mercy for his people. Rather, he responds appropriately to their actions. When we sin, he responds to our sin even as he loves us beyond measure. Fortunately, the dark moments of our lives will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in us. God has a purpose for us, and he loves us so much. God loves us. He cares about us, and he wants the best for us. We got to know who we belong to, and we belong to the Most High God. In Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Waiting upon God isn't passive. We don't sit with folded hands and smiling faces. Instead, we inquire. We take a preliminary step. We pray. We obtain counsel. We ask, seek, and knock in the prudent fashion. Do you know the Lord as trustworthy, reliable, consistent, or do you question whether God will be there for you in your hour of need? From cover to cover, the Bible proclaims God is there and he cares. He never abandons us. Therefore, seek and praise him as you wait. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. God, ooh, I love that man. God rest his lovely soul. Lamentations 3:31-32. The Lord will not cast off forever, though he causes that he will show compassion. And I know this. Been there. Been in that pit. The Lord sometimes brings affliction into our lives, not to make us squirm, but to shape and mold us increasingly into the image of his son. Adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. Lamentations chapter 5. Life lesson. You, O Lord, remain forever your throne from generation to generation. Thank you, Mother. We live in a time of enormous and rapid change, and yet God remains exactly the same today as he was in the days of Jeremiah. The changes do not surprise him, nor do they impress him. Praise him today. God, today, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Ooh, I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed to be a child of God.
Amen.
And as we go into Ezekiel this morning, we will be in Ezekiel chapter 1. We will see if we get through the rest. We will try. It says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Shirah, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Uzziah, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked out, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiated out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The heads of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four heads had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went. They each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. Each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another. Two covered their bodies, and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning, and the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and the workings was like the color of braille, and the four had the same likeness. The appearance of the workings was as it was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne. In appearance like a sapphire stone, on the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw as it were the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Whew.
Amen.
So when I saw it, I Amen. Fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They
Amen.
And their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, ask for them whether they hear or whether they refuse. For they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though birds and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse. But they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was written on the inside and on the outside, and written on it was lamentation and mourning and woe. Whew! What a
Amen.
Word this morning. What
Amen.
A word. Great
Amen.
Is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Ezekiel, just reading it to get filled up. I saw
Amen.
Visions of God. Ezekiel did not choose to see visions of God. God took the initiative to prophesy. Never came by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Ezekiel 1:28. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. It is impossible to fully describe the splendor that is God. The best Ezekiel can do is to say it looks something like an expression of something else. God's glory is radically different from everything in the universe. Ezekiel 2:2, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. God never gives us a command that he doesn't also give us the ability to fulfill. He never calls us to task without also enabling us to complete it. God makes possible what he commands. Praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen.
Ezekiel 2:6, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words.
Amen.
God sent Ezekiel to speak to a nation he called rebellious and impotent and stubborn and hard-hearted. Not an easy task, but since God would be with Ezekiel, the prophet did not have to fear. Hallelujah. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Praise the Lord, mother. Praise the Lord this morning. That is our word
Amen.
Of the Old Testament Friday.
Amen.
Mother, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Believe it or not, it is time for us to go. Wow. I am
word from Carol.
Absolutely.
Word from Carol.
Absolutely. Before we go, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning, just like every morning, God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, everybody. God is good, and he's good all the time. Great is
all the time.
Faithfulness. God is faithful, and God loves you. And one more time, God will give you strength for every battle. He did Jeremiah. Wisdom for every decision. He did Solomon. And peace that surpasses all understanding. He did David. God has a plan for our lives, and all we have to do is say thank you, Lord. Have a fantastic,
Amen.
Faithful Friday, family. Mother Valerie, it's been a pleasure. And we pray our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Have a great and blessed day. knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High, and great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. God is great, and he is faithful. Have a blessed and wonderful, faithful Friday. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And know that you walk with the Lord because he is always there. Mother Valerie, guess what? It's a wrap.
It's
why? Because I got to go to work.
And I got to go to bed. It's a wrap.
Amen. God bless you, Mother.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Thank all of you for moving forward in the Word of God with us. Come join us again on Sunday as we have New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs Sunday. And again, as we say on Sundays, I say to you today, if you are a Saturday church member, please find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and have a blessed and wonderful weekend. It is a wrap. Why? Because we're always praying for you. Have a great day. It's a wrap, Mother.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.